All right, you're very welcome to this latest edition of the Your Politics podcast from RTE. Happy New Year to our listeners, and thanks if you've clicked on the link and you're listening in for our offerings today. It's Joe McGrailey sitting here in the chair for Áine Lawler. And across from me are my two esteemed colleagues, political reporters Mary Regan and Juliette Gash. And we're obviously back in the business of politics now, and it's all about government formation, Mary. They got back into the talks on Monday, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and it's all about who they're talking to and who they're not talking to at the moment in terms of independence, which groups are in, who's hot and who's not.
Yeah, so the talks have been pretty slow so far, it's fair to say. Not a huge amount of bite to them, given that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have, you know, done business before, so it's not as contentious them forming, you know, a government again as it was last time around. And Labour and Soc Dems appear all but out of this process. So the last one standing to form the third leg of this coalition are independents of various hues. There is the Independent Ireland, which is in fact a political party formed before the election, has four TDs. They were in talking to government, current government parties this morning, and the Healy Rays are talking to them this afternoon. But really, much of the focus now is on the rural independent groups. They're the most realistic group, both in terms of numbers and in terms of, you know, what deal can be struck. They're the most likely to form part of this government.
But they've been talked about from the very beginning, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean Kenny and Noel Grealish and Marion Harkin and that group. And of course, Michael Lowry, and we'll come to that in a bit. But the Independent Ireland in there this morning, that's a very late arrival into the process, which would lead you to suspect that maybe they've been used as a reminder to the other independent group not to ask for too much.
Yeah, so from day one, since the counts came in, and not all the votes were counted when they started talking about government formation, in and around the count centre, is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were just saying, no, you know, Independent Ireland, no, we're not interested really in working with them. We'd prefer more sort of individual independence, and I suppose the first preference of many of them would have been Soc Dems or Labour. But at this stage of the game, Independent Ireland have come into the fold, and that is leading to speculation, some of it coming from within Independent Ireland itself, that this is a sort of negotiating tactic, that the bigger parties are using it to, let's say, moderate the demands of the rural independents, to show the rural independents they're not having it all their own way, that the government does have options. But there are just four Independent Ireland TDs, and, you know, the other two parties have stated that, like, you know, a few more, basically for stability of numbers. But at the same time, it does send out a message to rural independents. Look, we have options here. It's not just all about yourselves.
There was this sort of almost poignant, you know, the phone is on, the phone is waiting, and there was no phone call to Independent Ireland for a while. And that phone call did come. And so this week has, you know, the timing of this week, we're getting closer to this perceived deadline of the 22nd, hoped for deadline of the 22nd. Of course, the Dáil is sitting on that date. And so, you know, really the pressure is on.
And Simon Harris was saying earlier on today that the negotiating teams of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were working up until midnight last night. So there is this impression that, you know, we're creating forward momentum at a rapid pace.
Yeah, he was asked on Tuesday outright, is the 22nd still the deadline? And he said, absolutely, that is my hoped for deadline. It's ambitious, you know, it's tight, but it's doable. But other people in Fine Gael seem to be saying, oh, no, that's not possible, because it's not just about the negotiating teams getting together and meeting with the third leg of the stool. Mm. It's also about going back to the parties. And that's, I suppose, what might take more time. But yes, working until midnight last night and starting at 7, he clarified this morning. So people are very busy.
And I was out the front of Leinster House there a short while ago, and I saw Michael Healy-Array arriving in. He's arriving in, as I understand it. He's meeting with Simon Harris tonight on behalf of the Healy Ray brothers, who are apparently doing a side deal as well. And that's something that has also sort of come, not entirely out of the blue, but we didn't hear about that until the last number of days as well, Mary.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's any, you know, opportunity for the Healy Rays to, you know, be relevant in any discussion, they will. We don't know really. They're talking about a junior ministry, possibly is what they're after. But again, you know, is this just something that the government parties are, you know, showing the rural independents, you know, we have other options, we have other people to talk to.
Because we have seen it in the past, though, where the Fianna Fáil government had an arrangement with minority parties, that they still kept on independence. Bertie Ahern still kept on independence. He had a sort of a side deal with them in the event of something arising whereby he would need those extra votes if somebody pulled out or somebody got jitters in the middle of the government's term.
Exactly. And these are not formal deals that they've often done with independents. Even the past two governments have done deals, but they're not formal. They're sort of understandings in which many independents, Michael Lowry, as we mentioned, included vote with the government the majority of the time. But we don't really know what exactly they get in return, if anything, or is it just having some sort of ear of government that matters to them?
In terms of those regional independents, Juliet, I think in the course of your own investigations today on various things, you were talking to one of them. What sort of a vibe were you getting from them? Do they feel a little bit less comfortable now that all of these other things are happening ahead of their own actual talks with the negotiators?
Well, Simon Harris was very clear that they have not sat down with the full group of the regional group of independents yet. And I thought that was kind of pointed. You know, we've been meeting with them, but not fully. And so those meetings will happen, of course. But yeah, I spoke to someone adjacent to the process, but close to it, because the regional independents are keeping very tight-lipped, in fairness to them. Not despite our best efforts. But and this person was saying that, I suppose, the not the bombshell, but the news today that the Garda had referred to the DPP the file on their investigation into the Moriarty Tribunal. And so this is again raising questions about Michael Lowry's suitability for propping up or being a member of the government. And this person adjacent to the process said this was uncomfortable and that they had raised the matter a month ago and said, is Michael Lowry the right person to be, I suppose, leading the negotiations or at least driving the negotiations?
He has been identified as the de facto leader, really, hasn't he?
Exactly. Now, this person seems to say that that might have been a self-appointed role, but that they would have preferred other people who perhaps had less baggage to be the chief negotiators. And they said that really it would be better for the regional independents if Michael Lowry was not seen as the driving force, or if he perhaps took a decision to maybe step aside or step away from the process. Now, that'll be a matter for him. And I know you were in touch with Michael Lowry, who is not commenting.
Yes, indeed. We sought a response from Michael Lowry on this today. There wasn't anything forthcoming so far, it has to be said. But just to go back in it, it was the Irish Times that broke the story this morning that the after a Garda investigation, that they've now sent a file to the DPP into the events that were involved in the Moriarty Tribunal reports. That last report, of course, Mary, came out in 2011. And it was at that point that it was referred to on Garda Síochána. And it's taken all of those years since for this to finally go to the DPP. But you were asking Micheál Martin about it earlier on, and Simon Harris, about the sort of uncomfortable situation where they took a particular stand in 2011 and now they're in negotiations with Michael Lowry.
Yeah, so 14 years have passed since the final report of the tribunal. And if we just think back to then, you know, Micheál Martin was leader of the opposition at the time. He was leading the charge, really, in calling for Michael Lowry's resignation at the time
as a TD.
Now, Michael Lowry was already an independent at that point. He was no longer in Fine Gael. He was prevented from running for Fine Gael, and he was no longer a minister. He was a TD. And Micheál Martin said that the report was a deep indictment of the conduct of Deputy Lowry, both as a minister and in the years following what he said was his reluctant resignation.
So what's he saying today then?
He said, yeah, and he also at the time, you know, accused the government party, which was Fine Gael, of posturing in relation to ethical issues. And he called on Michael Lowry to resign, or if you don't, the Dáil will have a motion to ask you to do so. Then you fast forward to today. Now, you can say 14 years, a long time has passed. And Micheál Martin said, yeah, you know, I put it to him that this person who you said should resign as a TD was not fit to be a TD. You are now relying on him as the kingmaker for a government that will return you as Taoiseach. How do you feel about that? And he said, yes, I did say that at the time, but there's been three elections since then. Michael Lowry has been deemed by the people of Tipperary, you know, they elected him. This is democracy. And as I say, once, twice, three times a poll topper in Tipperary. And, you know, we can't argue with the democratic choice of the people. We live in a parliamentary democracy. But he also said in terms of the government formation talks that no one is kingmaker, that the government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, are negotiating with a number of independents. He's had some, you know, individual conversations with those independents. They haven't had a formal sit down yet. That could happen as early as tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's not up to him who leads those talks. He says it's up to the rural independents themselves who leads those talks. And back to what Juliette was saying, you know, about some of them feeling perhaps uncomfortable. They would have known what they were letting themselves in for, because it was Michael Ary himself who convened and gathered these number of independents around him, you know, following the election results.
And that's something that Simon Harris had used the same argument, I think, about him being re-elected a number of times since then.
There was a lot of commonality between what the two
they were almost verbatim in saying identical things, Neil Martin and Simon Harris.
But that is a point, though, that, you know, he went before the electors. Various Dáil terms came to an end. Mm-hmm. He was no longer a TD. He put himself up for election again. And the people of Tipperary returned him every time.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the point that is being made by Simon Harris and by Micheál Martin quite forcefully. However, Simon Harris was also saying it's not up to him to choose who represents or who negotiates on behalf of the regional independents. And that's a matter for them, whether they will collectively reflect on that or not. Because again, they are independent TDs. They're not a party. So
has it changed the tenor, the tone, the general sort of atmosphere surrounding these talks, I wonder this?
Well, I think it's putting pressure on Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It's not a great look, you know, for Simon Harris, who portrays himself as this young kind of new generation leader. It's sort of, the two of them were squirming a little bit, I have to say, earlier today.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, Michael Lowry is the only one of that regional independent group with senior ministerial experience, even though that experience has been, you know, subject to finding of a tribunal. He's been around the Dáil for a very long time. He knows people in those parties.
And he has supported the government.
Supported the government.
The
so the governments know they can. Yeah. So Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael know they can rely on him.
So
the last government's analysis was done, and in the outgoing government, he supported 75% of votes for that government.
Yeah.
So they have a relationship built with him there. So in some senses, you know, he is the right person for them to negotiate with, if you look at it in that sense. And time has passed, things change in politics. However, there is this sort of niggle there. If you look back to what they said at the time of the findings of the report, you know, will it cast a particular hue over this government in terms of, you know, how it's seen? And, you know, also if we think to the younger generation of people under 35, and the fact that 2/3 of them voted either Sinn Féin, Social Democrats or Labour, will that cohort of younger people see this government as maybe something reflecting the past Ireland rather than maybe the future Ireland?
And of course, they won't know an awful lot about the Moriarty Tribunal either.
True.
Because the
mm-hmm.
final report was in 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Juliette, you mentioned there 22nd of January is the deadline. That's the day the Dáil is meeting again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day we expect the set pieces to happen with the Taoiseach, whoever emerges as the Taoiseach, to going to Áras an Uachtaráin, maybe a government, and all the rest have been formed. But the timeline is very tight, given the negotiations are still ongoing. What's your best guess at this stage?
Look, I think if everyone moved at the pace of Simon Harris, maybe yes, but we don't all move at that pace. And with the best will in the world, even can they do it, because they do have to go back to their parties. It does have to be ratified. And that's, I think that even if they get to the point of having agreed on everything or almost everything, they still have to get agreement from their parties. And that's the way the process works. And fair enough.
And my phone here on the table, I was just looking there as you were talking. The person I've been trying to ring out to try to talk to all day long about the actual process of ratification in one of the parties has just been ringing me there now. So he's too late for this podcast.
So you're missing the scoop because of the podcast.
Well, I mean, the background, as I understand it, is that in terms of Fianna Fáil, they have to hold a special delegate Ardesh, so it should be a national Ardesh, at which people will vote. And members who want to vote, who want to have a say in this, will have to attend that Ardesh. But of course, that can't be organised overnight. That has to have a couple of days.
So
you need to have the programme completed, first of all, and then you need to, you know, organise that Ardesh, give people, I suppose, 48 hours to try and get themselves organised to attend, etc., etc. And in Fine Gael's terms, as I understand it, there's talk about a number of regional conferences. So something similar, which involves organisation, which involves making contact with all of your members, which involves letting them all know that it's ongoing. So there will be a bit of time there. So, I mean, the 22nd is the week after next.
Yeah.
It's very tight.
I think they were softening us up a little bit today for the fact that this might drag on a bit longer, because while they said that they hope it'll be done by the 22nd, you know, they left open the possibility that it'll go on further than that. And, you know, I think you'd expect that it would go on to the following week. Mm. And that Ordesh that you mentioned, you know, it's a great opportunity. It has a political purpose as well as a practical purpose of sort of rallying the troops, having a big, you know, Yahoo celebration, Fianna Fáil Taoiseach back in office sort of thing. So, they'll want to give that a bit of time. They'll want to give it attention and focus, and they'll want the members to look, you know, to have, this is the members having a say, and it's a more democratic process. So I would see this running a little bit longer, even though both of them said today they hoped.
If it goes on an extra week, then you're into the bank holiday weekend for St. Bridget's Day, which is the bank holiday, I think, is on the 3rd of February.
Mm.
So perhaps you could get the deal done, get all the, you know, get it out there, call your special meetings over that weekend, perhaps the bank holiday weekend, have it all done for the following week. The Dáil reconvenes on Wednesday.
And don't forget the Shannon elections before that as well.
Juliet, I wanted to talk to you about the Shannon elections. This is what it's been on my agenda all day long. So look, tell us a little bit about the Shannon elections, which will be taking place on the 29th and 30th. Well, they're taking place as we speak.
They are, yeah. They're postal votes. So, of course, there are different seats. There are 60 seats on the Shannon. There are 43 seats up for grabs on what are called vocational panels, which are voted by TDs, incoming TDs, outgoing senators and local councillors. So, you know, around 1,200 people will vote on those 43 seats. I think there's 113 candidates on those. There's the various different panels, which I can go through in a moment. And there are also 11 nominees by the Taoiseach, which will most likely be shared by Simon Harris and Micheál Martin because of the rotating Taoiseach arrangement.
They'll come after all the others are
exactly
in
after
place.
The election.
Yeah.
And then graduates of Trinity College Dublin and the National University of Ireland, which is UCD, UCC, Maynooth University, Galway University, and some other higher institutional educations. They each get to nominate three apiece. So there's six. So to vote on, exactly. So their deadline for the university graduates is on the 29th of January. And then the following day, the vocational panels will be decided upon and counting will begin on the 29th.
So the election is underway at the moment.
Absolutely, graduates will have been sending in their votes already. And course, I presume a lot of TDs can just drop them in the box, you know.
And in terms of the university panels and the university senators, this is the last time, of course, it'll be restricted to TCD and NUI graduates, because all third level graduates, I think, will be allowed to vote in the following Shannon
election. And interestingly, if you want to register and you have to register, so if you are a graduate of National University of Ireland or TCD, you will be deregistered and will have to re-register yourself. It's called shannonvoter.ie, and you have to register before the 23rd of January to be eligible.
So it's interesting then, some of the people that are going forward. Obviously, the Shannon, it's always said that it's a place for retiring politicians on the way out or up and coming politicians on the way in. I would say that it's a place where a lot of strong voices get to, you know, add to public debate in Ireland, you know, from various different groupings and various different backgrounds. But in terms of politicians, Mary, I think people know that you're from the west of Ireland. There's a certain politician by the name of Sean Kine who had said he was quitting politics after he didn't get elected in the general election. But he's now going for the Shannon, apparently.
Yeah, so there's a few comings and goings from the west of Ireland. I'll get to Sean Kine in a minute. Lisa Chambers, Mayo, former TD, she lost her seat in 2020. Then she contested the European elections and she didn't get elected this time around. She was the Fianna Fáil leader in the Shannon the last time around, and she's just announced in the recent days that she's quitting politics. So she is not putting her name forward for these Shannon elections. And then if you go to Sean Kine in Galway West, he contested the election. He was a senator. He has been a senator since 2020, and he announced on the count day that he was bowing out of politics, you know, citing the pressure was putting on him and people around him, his family.
Yeah.
And he has now said that he is contesting the Shannon elections. And the reason he is doing so, he said, is because there is now no TD
representing Connemara, and he believes that Connemara needs a voice in the Oireachtas, and he can deliver that.
So he's been prevailed upon to stand again there, has he?
Well, possibly, but you know, his argument is that there's this big constituency, this big part of off Galway West, Gaeltacht communities and all of that that don't have a representative, because all the Galway West TDs are more from the city or other parts of the county, you know?
And it's a difficult time for senators in many ways, in that all through the Christmas period, they've had to be contacting their county councillors all around the country who have a vote on these various panels.
They can't canvass in the traditional way. Yeah. You can't be knocking on doors when it's only, you know, for the university ones anyway, it's only 200,000 odd voters or 1,200 when it comes to, you know, politicians. Mm. So it is tricky. I spoke to one, Ronan Mullen, and he was saying, you know, he was cautiously optimistic, but also nervous.
Panel.
He's the NUI panel. Mm. But he was saying that it is hard as well for those on the vocational panels, because he gets an awful lot of lobbying, of course, because he can vote on the vocational panels. And he, you know, he was saying he has to be honest with people. I can't give everyone my number one. But, you know, you're voting for your colleagues as well. So that can be tricky, because it's sometimes seen as a bit of a consolation prize for TDs who have lost seats, who then are put forward or put themselves forward. And so, you know, we have several TDs who lost their seats who are now in the running to get a...
Also, I think the Seanad has no longer been sort of the poor relation of the Dáil in many respects. You know, we often saw it as the place where TDs went to retire, or former politicians went to retire. The last Seanad, actually, if you look at Timmy Dooley, for example, he lost a seat in 2020, used his time in the Seanad quite effectively, maintained his profile, and now is back in the Dáil. So it does have that purpose too. And I think the lines between who's a TD and who's a senator have become a little bit blurred somewhat, that many senators now have as high a profile as TDs in many ways.
And I think the committees, the Oireachtas committees really help with that, because if you've got a high profile member of the Seanad who is on one of those joint Oireachtas committees, then they are there and they are visible and they are, you know, quoted more often. They're in the media more often,
and you can see all the names of the nominees posted on the boards outside Leinster House as
on
well.
They're
on Kildare Street if people want to read them. There's some interesting names there. Conor Murphy, for instance, from Sinn Féin, coming down from Northern Ireland to stand. Cathal Berry, who lost a seat in the general election.
I was in touch with him after the election.
He's standing too.
Yeah, and he said he was really much looking forward to the Seanad elections, and he would think he'd be in with a good chance. He's well known and generally very well regarded. Éanann Ní Leabhanna is another name that you see, the broadcaster who's very big on nature and has always been telling us to appreciate our heritage and our nature. She's also running. So it'll be very interesting. We'll definitely see some new faces and some familiar ones
and
too.
And then at the end of it all, the Taoiseach's nominees, that will be very interesting to see as well. Who will get preference?
And crucial to the Greens to get senators, because they just have one TD, Roderick O'Gorman. And
Malcolm Noonan is standing for the Greens in the Seanad.
And if they have one or two...
He's not the only one, I think.
He's not the only one. I'd have to go
through
my list here.
They have one or two senators there. Then they will at least have some presence and a parliamentary party rather than parliamentary individual.
Very good. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on that, and people can get the latest on the Seanad, on government formation talks, and on all the other developments in politics if they stay tuned and keep an eye on all of our various outlets. We have to leave it now, because the 6 o'clock news has to be prepared for. Various other pieces for online have to be written. So we leave it there. And thanks to everyone who's listened to the podcast. Bye for now.